The Lord has spoken so much through the brothers. And if I add anything more, there's no more to add. Isn't it wonderful? All right. The Word of God itself is enough, really enough. The saints mentioned about Samuel this morning. What impressed you with Samuel? He was the youngest one who ever brought to serve in the house of God. And who taught him? God spoke to him. Right? Samuel? Emmanuel? I mean Samuel. And then Samuel thought it was Eli. So he got out of his bed and went to Eli. And how many times?
Three times.
Finally, Eli told him what? How to react, how to respond. It was God speaking to him. Don't ever think you're too young to hear the Lord speaking. Learn to hear the Lord speaking to you, even in your young age. It's probably the best time for God to speak to you. Our God is a speaking God. I can testify to you that I went this way until this very day. It's not because somebody called me. Or it's not an organization that hired me or whatever. No. It was the Lord speaking. We all need to learn to have an open ear to hear the Lord speaking. Our God is a speaking God. That's why He dwells in you. Isn't it strange if He lives in you, He doesn't speak to you? Then what does He do? And the Bible says, the anointing dwelling in you, He will just be with you wherever you go. Is that what He says?
No.
What? What does He say? He will teach you. Mm-hmm. How can He teach you if He doesn't speak to you?
Yeah.
How do you teach your children if you don't speak to them? Right. You just there, look at them. When, how often do you speak to your children?
Very often.
Oh, very often. What about the Heavenly Father? How often does He speak to you? How about the Lord indwelling in you? What about the anointings? The Lord has given us the best teacher.
Yes.
And yet we deny that. Mm-hmm. And we listen to man. May the Lord prevent us from replacing Him to speak to the saints. I have seen that at the very end, like He was there. They all just listened to man speaking, even though the man was not there anymore, because nobody lived forever. But His books is with us. Goodness. Yeah. Quite a few years ago, in Los Angeles, a journalist, a newspaper man, went to the place where we once were and interviewed somebody there. I don't need to mention the name. So, you're uplifting or respect this man so much, but he's not here anymore. So, what are you going to do? And that person answers, oh yeah, His spirit is with us. I said, oh. I almost fainted. Spirit is with you. Is that scriptural?
No.
It's only one time that it happened with that woman, the witch, whatever, the spiritist woman. You know, Saul went to him to ask Samuel to come out of Hades, of Sheol. And to her surprise, it was really the spirit of Samuel that came out. But it was only one time, and he came out just a few seconds, I think, maybe less than a minute. And he said, "Why did you disturb me from my rest?" No, that woman was so scared because usually it was just a demon coming. And he ran away. She ran away. But God used that one time for Samuel to rebuke Saul and to pronounce his judgment. And then he went back. How can it be? And then the next answer of that, it was all in that newspaper reported. Yeah, although he's not here anymore, but we have his books. So, are we like this? No, don't be like that. Don't be like that. And I want to encourage all of us, including myself, to love the living Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is alive. Amazing. It can be milk to the young ones. It can be solid food to the older ones. And because it is alive, it is the Spirit. Yeah. It knows your need and your situation in that particular case, wherever you are, it will meet your need. Amen. You don't have to listen to so many messages, but you need to come to the living Word of God. Yes. It's alive. The Lord says, "My words, the words that I've spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life." In whatever situation you're in, the Word will speak to you in such a way that it will supply your need. Yeah. So learn to come to the Word. Of course, we need a fellowship with one another, which is nice. A conference once in a while is okay. We enjoyed it, right? Not just a conference. I enjoy your presence here. Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah. That's why I said we came here and not for the conference. We came here to see the saints. And for the wonderful, rich fellowship. And my, we appreciate the young saints. I'm sorry, excuse me. Right. But the main thing is, listen to the Lord. You're not too young to hear the Lord. If Samuel, at such early age, he was just weaned. Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you, yeah. If he could hear the voice of the Lord speaking, you should also tell the Lord, "Well, you spoke to Samuel. Why not to me?"
Amen.
Yeah. Right. Even the parents, they love to speak to the children. Even they learn to speak to the babies. Right? It's really wonderful. And one thing in the Bible that impressed me very much is that the Lord says, hey, don't stop the children from coming to me. The disciples were afraid that the children would disturb the Lord. Don't disturb the master. Go away there. Play there, play there. Go to the children's meeting. Why send them to the children's meeting? Right? Do you want to just stay down below? Isaiah, where do you want to be? Up here or down there? Oh. The Lord says, suffer not children to come to me. Let them come to me. Right. And the Lord blesses them. Isn't that wonderful? Right. The Lord gave us such a wonderful example. If we read a Bible, the Bible has all the examples that we need. From Genesis all the way to Revelation. Everything is in the Bible. This is why many times I think, what else can I say? The Bible says everything. The Lord gave us 10 commandments, but we have thousands of books. Can our thousands of books replace the Ten Commandments? So, learn to treasure this book. Learn to hear Him. Hear Him. Our God is a speaking God. Every day you can hear the Lord speak. Although the Lord gave them 10 commandments, could they fulfill it? Our brother this morning, oh, where's Leo? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Why did God give us a new covenant?
Why?
Moses.
Oh,
so even just 10 commandments, you can't keep them? I always remember what our dear brother Mu Chang said in a conference. You remember that? What did he say? God gave Adam how many commandments?
One.
Could they keep it? Not even one they could keep. So what is God's solution? Now He writes them into your heart.
Yes.
What does it mean, it is written in your heart? What happens if it enters into your heart? It becomes a part of your being. If it becomes your nature, which is Christ as life within us. And this is what it means, that it's written in my heart. And not only written in my heart, but even the one who could fulfill every one of them now dwells in your heart, in my heart. So what else do you need? To make it, you just need to grow. To gain Christ. You know what Paul says, I want to know Him. It's not a matter of knowing the commandments. It's to know Him. And it's written already there. Right. And the Lord has given us His own life and Himself. We need to gain more of Him, to experience Him, to gain Him, to grow. Just like a child, you have all the capacity of a human being, your intelligence, your feeling, your ability, every part. But you need to grow. If you don't grow, then you don't develop that. So today, it's the new covenant. I will put my laws into their heart and write them into their mind. But if you don't come to the living word, right, because this word corresponds to what is written in your heart. It's not just the letter. It is also the Spirit within us, the Lord within us. You said, okay, if the Lord lives within me, then I don't need the Bible anymore. I forget about my iPad. No, sorry. We're still human beings. Right. As a human being, we still need the living word here, the written word. But the written word corresponds to the written word in your heart. And the Spirit there will help you, will teach you. Right. So, come to the Word. Not just messages. I feel sorry for many saints that I knew. Instead of reading the Bible, they're reading books. They study life. Maybe if you change your major to biology, you will be so alive. No. No. Right. So, may the Lord have mercy on us. Let the anointing teach us. Amen. The Lord not only gave us so much within us, He gave us the best teacher. Yes. The anointing teaches you all things. And even in the New Covenant, it says you don't need anyone to teach you, right? You believe that?
Yes.
No, I don't believe so. I don't think you believe that. That's why you come to the conference.
Yeah. Well, the fellowship, we came to
there is
the
an
saints.
Anointing.
To see the saints.
That's good. Fellowship means exchange. This is why I enjoyed so many things. Sharing. Not sharing teachings and doctrines in the Bible. Then you become a teacher. But you share your substance and reality of Christ to us. Right. Otherwise, you'll be a teacher. The fellowship is partaking. This is what the word means. Fellowship. Right, because you don't want to eat by yourself. Right? Oh, when we come here, we have fellowship and that table outside, out there. Can you imagine if you just eat by yourself? A feast is the fellowship, and we're all partaking of that wonderful food. This is fellowship. Fellowship means partakers. Partaking what? Doctrines. Oh, doctrines is not edible, okay? If you go to a restaurant, you eat the menu, and that's good enough, and they charge you, $20 for the menu, and then you have to leave a tip before you go. You can't even take that menu with you to go home. No, it's partaking. That's why we have the table yesterday. The bread, is that not the partaking of the body of Christ? What does it mean? You eat it into you. To partake means to eat, to take it into you. The cup of blessing, is it not the fellowship, the partaking of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? So it is partaking, it is eating. What can we say? The word, every word that we have read in Matthew chapter 5-7, eat it. Amen. Don't say, I know it. To know is one thing. You know about eggs? Emmanuel, you know eggs? Well, that's good enough. So if it's about knowing eggs, and you come to breakfast and your mom talk about eggs again. And the next morning you talk about eggs again. I don't think anybody will come to the table after that. But when you're eating, you will never get tired of eating eggs because it strengthens you, it gives you life. It has a taste of what an egg really is. We want to taste Christ here. We want to taste Christ. We want to enjoy what did Christ do to you. Now, appreciate the question, what happened when we found out about the priesthood 10 years ago? Oh, now, would you please repeat that message 10 years ago? No, it's what happened. What is our experience? What changes? Food will cause you to really grow and strengthen you and satisfy you. And that's what we really need. For me to live is Christ. That is the way to fulfill the heavenly constitution. There's no other way. You can memorize it. That's fine. I'm not against memorizing. But even if you memorize it, the children like to say, I know, I know. Don't do that. I know, I know, I know. So what if you know? He did it again. And the same with us, not only the children. We too, the old folks. I know, yeah, I've heard that, I've read that. I know, yeah. But it's not what we know. It's how we live. Right. To know, to hear, and if you don't do it, you'll not make it. So, everyone who hears this word, that's the conclusion that the Lord says, will make it. No, but to do it according to the word. And how are you going to do it? By yourself? Through Christ. Paul says, I can do all things through myself and by myself. I'm so strong now. I've been a Christian for how many years now have we been Christian? Now I can do all things by myself. It's no longer I. I can do all things only through him. And the Lord says, apart from me, oh, you can, you're very capable, you can still do a lot of things. You can do nothing. Whatever you do by yourself means nothing. You gain nothing. But if you live Christ, it's wonderful. You make it. For me, to live is Christ. And you will never know Christ enough because his riches is unsearchable. Unsearchable. Many years ago, I heard an older gentleman that says, I have seen whatever needed to be seen in the Bible. Everything I've seen, what needs to be seen in the Bible, I have seen. Goodness. I thought in my heart, well, this man has reach the limit of God. God is so small that you can know everything about him. Paul says we only knew in part. Yeah. Yeah. But this man says, I've known everything. Who is right? You were born here in Canada. You know every square inch in Canada?
No, definitely not. Not even of Toronto.
Not even in Toronto. And how much bigger is God than Toronto? And he's even expanding this universe, for example. No, today we know only in part, but we need to have an appetite. Lord, I want to know more.
Amen.
This is why, again, I bring all of us back to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to know him.
Amen.
In Ephesians, Paul talks about the height, the depth. How deep is depth? Have you ever been to the center of the earth? What about to the height of the universe? How high is height? How deep? And how wide? And how long? Do you know the measurement? Have you ever measured it? No. The more you know and experience the Lord, let me testify to you, the more you realize you don't know him.
Yeah.
Only those who don't know him thought they know him. And at the very end, they don't even believe in him anymore. And they don't need him anymore. But the more we grow and experience Christ, the more you will know, I don't know him.
Yeah.
That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 8 says, if somebody says, I know him, Paul says, you don't know anything.
Right.
So it's not that we don't know him, but the more you know him, the more you realize, my, it's unsearchable, unfathomable. How high can you go? How high can you jump?
1.5 meters.
Only? Well, then what about those who are high jumpers? 8 meters at most? And what happened when they jump so high?
They fell down.
You come back to the point where you started.
Yep.
How much can we know God? How much can we experience Christ? It is unsearchable. Paul, that's why it says the height, the length, the width, and the depths, right? The lengths. All the dimensions of Christ, who can exhaust the riches of Christ? This is why every day is a chance for us to gain the Lord. If you want to fulfill the constitution, you need Christ. And you need more of him. In order to reach the goal. How often have we experienced, oh, we thought we already know that, and we found out, oh, the thing that I knew was wrong. Was okay, maybe it's not wrong, but there's more.
Amen.
Right. Can you learn everything in kindergarten? No, you know you graduated kindergarten. After kindergarten, you have what? Elementary school. Is that good enough? Well, high school, hey, you just graduated high school, right? So that's good enough. No. You go to college. And is that good enough? There's still an even higher education. And then there's continuing ed. Because there's so much to learn. If there's so much to learn concerning the things in this world, you think you can know God who created this universe?
Yeah.
And most wonderful thing is not just to know God, but I want to know why I'm here. What is he building? The church? What is the church for you? The place where you go every Sunday, is that a church? The people thought it was. And there are so many different kinds. Just like the nation, so many different nations. That's why they call it denominations. So which one? Which one? What is God doing? If you don't know God, you will not know what he is doing. What was his plan? And why did God create you? Just to get a job and live here and take cruise every year, go to vacation, have a good time. Is that all, our human life on this earth? And what happened after your life ended? Have you ever thought of that? You thought about what happened when you graduate college. You're going to find a job. And what happened if you find a good job? Oh, I'm going to get married, have a family. Okay, and what happened after that?
A good house.
Oh, okay. Not just a good house, many good houses. Okay. Yes. Okay, after that, and after that, after you have good houses, what happened next? Retired? That means you're going to be tired again. It's re-tired. Don't ever think after you retired you have a good life. You'll be even more tired than before, I tell you.
Very true.
Right, John, you're retired.
Yes.
You see, are you still tired?
Very tired.
Yes. You know, it's very tiresome not to know what to do when you have so much time. It makes you crazy.
If you don't know what you're doing.
If you don't know what you're doing. So how can you retire? And then people didn't know, after they died, where they go. You remember that rich man in the Gospel of Luke? He retired. And what happened after he retired? Oh, to say the least. He was suffering so much in Hades, in that part of Hades. Is that a retirement? Torment. People don't think about it. Because they don't read the Word of God. The Word of God tells you everything, everything from A to Z. That's why the Lord says, I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. I'm the author and I'm the finisher. Everything is in the Bible. So, although you go to college, Emmanuel, major in the Bible.
Amen. Not theology.
Not theology. Please run away from theology. There's one thing we all need to learn, the Word of God. That's why the Bible is so wonderful. It started with Genesis, the beginning. Genesis means the beginning. And it ends in the book of Revelation, showing what is going to happen at the end. If you don't know the Bible, you will not know your beginning, and you will not know where you're ending up. Don't think it is a book of religion, no. God wants you to know not just him, but he wants us to know what it is all about, what your life is all about. You think God doesn't have a plan? His plan is much higher than our plan. It's written in Isaiah 55. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts or my thoughts. And his way is much higher. How high? How high is heaven?
I don't even know.
Yeah, you've been flying all the time. Is that high enough? No. It's much, much, much higher. Much, much higher. So, man is foolish if we don't come to this word. This is why at the end, especially Matthew, a foolish man and a wise man. A wise man got a PhD in engineering.
Built his house on the
sand. Remember that. You think you got a solid job until inflation and problems and COVID-19 comes. Everything all of a sudden sank, like sinking sand. You think you're on solid ground. You think you have a big bank account until inflation came. And your account just sank. Not trustworthy. This is what the Lord says there, and he taught us an incident. Constitution, not institution. The Constitution. You should lay up treasure in the bank. But how come you treasure so much your bank account? Have you ever asked how much is your account in the heavens? How many of you thought about your account in the heavens? Oh, praise the Lord, we got one here. Oh, hallelujah, Isaiah, praise the Lord. From the youngest to the oldest. How much is your account? Where's your treasure? It's where your heart is, the Lord says. Very practical. Every day, what are you concerned about? That's where your heart is. Yeah? Every day, what are you thinking about? And when the Lord comes back, how much treasure have we there with him deposited there? The Lord deposited so much within us. That's what Paul says. The deposit that God has given me. And he wants to gain. He wants to make profit, spiritual, heavenly profit, out of that deposit. That's why he wants to gain more Christ. He wants to gain more money. He wants to gain more Christ. The Lord gave us a very simple word. You lay up your treasure in heaven. No inflation there. I assure you, there's no inflation there. You will only gain more and more. And the interest of the Lord is beyond your imagination. Here, the interest, I don't even know how, 1% of what, huh? 0.1%. That's why, you know, Matthew 25, okay, you put it in the heavenly bank. Even if you only have one talent, invested in the heavenly bank. And you will gain heavenly interest. How much interest do you think the Lord will give you? Isaiah. 100%. That's wonderful. Why not? Yes. 100%. It's beyond our imagination. The Lord wants to give us everything. Every heavenly blessing. Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful. So, From this day on, you all need to consider your heavenly account. Okay, don't worry so much about your earthly account. Yes, there's no thief up there. You don't trust in the bank, they're all robbers there. They want you to invest there so that they can use your money that you have invested for their own gain. And then it crashed. Why? Because the money went into somebody's pocket. What the Lord says in that heavenly account, is there any moth that will eat up? No moth. No thieves. You think Michael, the archangels will, I'll use some of your account. No, it is so sure up there, your account. This is why, because of that, the Lord tells us, you cannot serve two masters. So which master are you serving? I appreciate what Mo says, right? Don't try to balance. Earthly master, heavenly master. Earthly master, heavenly master. There's a saying in Chinese, you cannot stand your 2 feet on 2 boats. Yeah. What happened if the 2 boats went apart further? Where are you going to land? You're going to sink into the depth of the ocean. No. It's so difficult to just balance yourself. No man can serve two masters. This is written there to help us. Don't think, oh, the Lord is so selfish. No, no. It's impossible. Right? Try to do 2 jobs between 2 companies that have competition with one another. Can you do that? You'll be fired.
Fired by both.
Fired by both. You're absolutely right. You cannot please both.
They even want to know if you're working for other companies.
Oh, yeah. You think they will trust you? You become a spy. Even a spy for both sides. The Constitution is very, very practical. Yeah. Right. And our Lord Jesus, when he was on this earth, he lived out of that Constitution before our eyes. No compromise. No compromise. The Lord never make any compromise. Let your answer be yay, yay, or nay, nay. No compromise. So simple. It's not complicated. The more we know Christ, the more uncomplicated we are. If it's right, say yes. If it is wrong, says no. You can never compromise righteousness with lawlessness. Either you love righteousness like the Lord and you hate lawlessness, or you love lawlessness or you hate righteousness. There's nothing in between. If there's something in between like that, pretty soon, lawlessness will take over. You can never make compromise with the devil. And even the world knows that. You give them 1 inch, they'll get a whole 1 foot from you. You give them 1 foot, next thing you know, they'll take the whole yard away from you. And at the end, they will take everything from you. Right. Don't fall into his trap. through covetousness.
Amen.
Right? The Ten Commandments, the last two is do not covet. Remember, covetousness is idolatry. We think idols are, you know, something outward. No, but covetousness is idolatry. So, the Lord has given us enough words here. You just have to read it. And to realize that we have the one who fulfilled all the righteous requirements of God. You all know Romans 8, I don't have to read it. The law, the written law, cannot work because of our flesh. That's why God sent his Son. And condemned, right, in the likeness of the flesh of sin, and condemned sin in the flesh. And then he fulfilled all the righteous requirements. And now he dwells in us, in our spirit. You only need him to do it. Who else can help you to do it? The one who's telling you to do it, he didn't even do it himself. Right? You taught others to do it, but you yourself don't do it. Then you will get more punishment from God. That's what hypocrite means. That's what you're mentioning, right? You hypocrite, the Lord says. Chapter 5, you have the blessing. Blessed are these and that and that. And chapter 23, woe, woe, and woe. A lot of woe. More woes than blessing. So which one, which way do we choose? Which way do we choose? Learn. We need to see. And the Bible tells us everything. And it is not just the law. Why do we need the law? First of all, because we're fallen. And secondly, because the Lord wants to have a kingdom. The kingdom of God cannot be lawless. Remember, he loves righteousness. He hates lawlessness. Do you hate lawlessness? What does it mean to hate? Okay, I don't like it. Okay, you know. Look what's happened even in this country. Right? Lawless. Lawless. We just prayed in Fountain Valley in the last prayer meeting concerning 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Lawlessness is increasing. And the mystery of lawlessness is working. What about righteousness among God's people? I appreciate our brother sharing concerning righteousness. God's kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. The scepter of his throne is a scepter of righteousness. That's why we need a law. Israel is not just a nation, it is God's nation. This is why the world hates Israel. Not because they are Jews. No, it has nothing to do with being Jewish. It has all to do with God and God's plan and purpose. I always mention that place, Jerusalem. I said, that real state belongs to God. They don't know what they are fighting for and against. The Lord has chosen Zion.
Amen.
That's his place. And he gave it to his people. That's his promise. It's God's real estate. Actually, the earth is the Lord. The whole earth belongs to God. He made it. But particularly that place in Jerusalem, that is why it became a reeling place there. Everybody's crazy about it. We have to see, it's all incorporated into God's kingdom and God's plan. Don't be naive. There's a reason why everybody hates that place and try to occupy it. And there's so many places on this earth. Why did the devil with that terrible religion choose exactly the place that God has chosen for his habitation? Think about it. Why is that place so important? It is God's kingdom, because God's throne is going to be there. I will set my throne there forever. The throne is his kingdom.
Amen.
But God's people didn't care for that. When they enter into the good land, nobody cares about the place where God has chosen. And even today, we Christians, who cares about a kingdom? They all cares about going to heaven. Okay. But the kingdom, and the kingdom starts today. This is when the book of Matthew, the gospel is actually the coming of the kingdom.
Amen.
Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand.
Amen.
And that is why the book of Matthew is the gospel of the kingdom. And right in the beginning, he was the son of David. God's promise to David. Out of your body will come one that will sit on his throne forever. So immediately he was introduced as the son of David. And obviously the people know. They call him, oh, thou son of David, help me. Son of David. Why do they call him son of David? Because he's the king. And only one particular wonderful time is only one day, and that one day everybody welcome him as the king. But then they denied him to be the king 6 days later. Crucify him, right? Pontius Pilate says, behold your king. They all scream like crazy people. We have no king except Caesar. Oh, wow. Okay, then the Lord sent Prince Titus from Rome to come to be their king. No, to destroy them. Wiped out Israel from the map for almost 1900 years. But the Lord will never give up his plan.
Amen.
That's why in 1948 he recovered. But that's the earthly kingdom. In the new covenant, the Lord wants to build the heavenly kingdom. This is why there are two Jerusalems, Galatians. Paul says the one in there. You can go there next week if you want to. Take a visit, because they are inviting people to come and visit Jerusalem, the holy city. But that's not very holy there. Then there is a heavenly Jerusalem. So which one do we belong to? The heavenly. But really, really, the church is heavenly. And is this his kingdom? Is the Lord the king? Oh, we read in Ephesians, he is the head over all things of the church. I've never seen a place where Christ is really the head. He's the king. What about us? What about here in Toronto? Not only what about us, what about you and me? Who is the head? Who is the head? It's not a doctrine. It is a reality. Learn to listen to him. Yeah. Because the kingdom starts now. Somebody mentioned this morning, right, that a kingdom, the Lord says, didn't come by observation. So, okay, praise the Lord, a kingdom is invisible. That's not what it means. But firstly, it is in us. First of all, it is among them. Because that verse, you can interpret it as among them, because the Lord is the king in a kingdom. He is the kingdom. But no, it's going to be in us. It's nothing outward, but that doesn't mean that it's invisible, untouchable, you cannot see it. No, it must be expressed. But not according to human concept. So if our king is so great and all authority is given to him, how come our condition is so poor? Something is not right. What can we say? Like Paul, we need to say, for me to live is Christ. If we live Christ, then the authority of Christ is there. Not only the children should learn how to behave. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 3, if he delays coming to visit them, that we may know how to behave. Not the children, the adults. You know, when the children do not behave, it is really not that bad yet. But if we do not behave, imagine if we, the grown-up people, we do not behave. Can you imagine if the government do not behave, does not behave?
Huh? We don't have to imagine.
You don't have, you can see it. It'll destroy the whole country. Worse than children are behaving. We destroy God's plan. Actually, we are, like Paul says, spiritual children. We did not grow in life. Children tossed to and fro. Rebellious. Yeah. So easily deceived by so many things. That's children. It's written, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, fighting, the Christians are fighting. Ephesians chapter 4, being deceived, thrown back and forth. And then Hebrews chapter 5, we still need milk. And hold on to the elementary teachings of Christ. Oh, my goodness, you can have elementary teachings. All of these, and how can we build up the kingdom of God with children? And Paul says in Galatians, yes, the children are heirs, but if they are just children and remain children, they are no different than a slave. They wouldn't know what to do with the riches. So God's kingdom is, it's not a teaching. That's why we emphasize, according to the Bible, our spiritual growth. We need to mature. We need to mature. Just like our human life, we need to mature. If we don't mature, oh, I'm sorry, it's late, right? We cannot make it without maturity. You may know the whole Bible. That's not enough. You have to know the living Christ within you and grow with him. That's why we are the first fruits, praise the Lord. Right. Then our building will not collapse. Because the Lord is going to shake everything. What did Hebrew say? We have received a collapsible kingdom. Unshakable, what does it mean? That means, like the Lord says, when rain comes, doesn't matter, we are in solid ground. When typhoon comes, wind comes, shaking, earthquake, we'll be solid. Are you afraid of problems, challenges? You think there's not going to be challenges? There'll be rain everywhere except here in this building. No, God is not afraid. Let it come. Our Lord went through all the challenges and he came out victorious. And his kingdom will be like that. That's why the Lord says, I will shake everything, not only the earth, but the heavens. And then he will come. So let it shake. Depends on our condition today. Unshakable, it's because we are solidly rooted and grounded in Christ. That's the only way we can be unshakable, because the Lord is going to shake everything. Don't be afraid of problems. Hallelujah. Problems are a blessing in disguise for us to gain Christ. Praise the Lord. That's why you have problems at home. What do you do with the problems? You gain Christ. Otherwise, your marriage will be shaky. Right? But you gain Christ. If you gain Christ, you're solid. Nothing can shake you. Otherwise, a little problem will just cause division and you go your way, I go my way. But a church is the unshakable kingdom. We have received an unshakable kingdom. That means it will be challenged. Don't expect a church without problems. Problems are good. It makes you solid. It makes you grow. It causes you to turn to the Lord, to gain Christ, experience Christ, and you will grow like that. You will become a solid Christian, a solid member of the body of Christ, a solid citizen of the heavenly kingdom. Let it come. And then the enemy will even be afraid of you. They will try. It's okay. They tried it on the Lord. Somebody read yesterday in the book of Romans, right? We will become more than conquerors through him who strengthens us. Nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. Paul mentioned so many things. So are you afraid of so many challenges? It belongs to our living, even in our human life. Going to college, there's a lot of challenges, I tell you. Praise the Lord.